The Secret of Mystery Babylon. January 15, 2022. By Justice Anna Von Wrights, Big Lake, Alaska. Okay, I know this may seem strange, considering all the talk about purported pandemics, bank and currency collapses, wars and rumors of wars. Why should I spend time thinking about or writing about things that happened, or maybe didn't happen, thousands of years ago? Because they are still impacting us today. Because our actual literal salvation depends on knowing the truth. Because we can't play without a full deck of cards. The records related to the teachings of Jesus and the choice of what to include and what to discard as scripture, canon, and much of the interpretation of the teachings of Jesus and his disciples has been left to the Roman Catholic Church for over 1,600 years. We have recently discovered the Roman Catholic Church's role in promoting numerous crimes and criminal fraud schemes that have grossly harmed our government and our people for generations. This has led us to question everything that the Roman Catholic Church has touched, both sacred and secular. This investigation unavoidably impacts all Christians and all Christian churches presently on earth. A key part of the fraud practiced against our American government has been identity theft and substitution of one thing for another using semantic deceits and similar name confusions. So, if this was their modus operandi in the secular realm, why wouldn't it also be their modus operandi in the sacred realm? We begin our examination by looking for signs of identity theft, substitutions of one thing for another, and semantic deceit. The first thing that pops up is the name used to refer to Jesus. We know for a fact that his actual name would have been Yeshua or, in English, Joshua, and it would have most likely been spelled as Yeshua or Yahshua because the letter J wasn't even used at the time and the letter Y as a substitute for I was just gaining traction. So, right from the get-go the name Jesus is somewhat dodgy. It's certainly not spelled as it would have been back then and appears to be a Latin approximation for the Greek Jesus, which was their transliteration from Hebrew Yeshua, which is a shortened form of Yahshua meaning God is help and rescuer, which all boils down in English to the name Joshua. In the attempt to be as honest as we can under such a circumstance, we will call Jesus by the best name we've got in modern English, Joshua, which, as it happens, is the same name as Joshua, the leader who came after Moses to lead the Hebrews into the Promised Land. Note, it was the Promised Land under Moses, but possession of the land came under Joshua. This is not a trivial observation related to our present circumstance. Next, we come to another odd issue with the name and title, Jesus Christ. Christ means Anointed One. And that then leads to the question, when, where, and by whom was Joshua anointed? Anointment has a particular meaning. Anointment means pouring oil on someone. So, when did this happen to Joshua? Just before his death, Mary Magdalene poured oil on him, a lavishly expensive ointment. This is the only incident of this kind recorded, so we must accept that this was the anointing that made him the Anointed One and that, in turn, led to him being called Christ and to the entire religion being called Christianity. What? How could that incident be so completely overwhelmingly important that the whole religion was founded on it? I was in inescapable mental freefall when I realized that. In ancient times, priests were anointed with oil, but this anointing of Jesus could not have anything to do with the Jewish priesthood, which is inherited and always kept within the temple confines. What else do we know? Joshua himself said that Mary Magdalene was preparing his body for burial. So, think about this, she was anointing him as a priest in anticipation of his death? That sounds like a death cult priesthood, and indeed, when you dig down deeper, it turns out that the Baal worshippers of Samaria and the Galilee region where Jesus grew up, had prostitutes anoint their priests with oil as part of their consecration to Baal. Mary Magdalene was a former prostitute. We don't know if she was a temple prostitute or not, but, if she was anointing Jesus with oil as a priest of Baal, that question gets resolved. And, faced with this startling but logical progression, we check some other points. Christ is not a name that Jesus ever called himself. Christ is not a name ever listed in the long recitation of names found in Isaiah, either. The word Christ doesn't even appear in the Bible. It's added. It's applied afterward like a snood on a Chevy, and the question remains, why? The whole Christ thing is dodgy title stuff, just like President of the United States versus President of the United States of America, persons versus people, and so on. Has our beloved rabbi's identity been stolen and misrepresented using semantic deceit? Does this whole Christ narrative element create a different, secret storyline? Has Joshua been passed off as a priest of Baal and ourselves been misrepresented as Baal worshippers via the label Christ and Christian? There is no sane reason that we should call him Christ or ourselves Christians based on an anointing by Mary Magdalene. Her anointing is hardly the centerpiece of our Christian religion. In all the years that I was a faithful Lutheran, I never once heard a sermon on this topic or any discussion of it at all. It was just there, part of the gospel record. But, there it is, inexplicably front and center, the fact responsible for the name of the whole religion, but never discussed. When we look at this squarely, and everything that later happened, and our own circumstance now, there are only one logical possibility. Mary Magdalene was the high priestess of Baal who met Joshua and converted to his way, making him her priest and bringing all her followers with her. This is the most reasonable conjecture on many levels, as it explains things that are otherwise mysterious. For example, in the years immediately after this, the once mighty temples of Baal disappeared and the Baal worshippers, too. Baal worship vanished in the Levant, and gradually disappeared from the known world over the course of a couple hundred years. And what rose instead, was Christianity. That's some powerful circumstantial evidence supporting the Baal connection underlying Christianity. It would also explain many otherwise inexplicable things. Like the hatred that some Roman Catholic priests openly express toward Mary Magdalene. These men are not kind about their objections to her association with Joshua, but they declined to explain why, beyond her identity as a prostitute. I once had the temerity to say, but, he consorted with fishermen and tax collectors and whores. He came to rescue the sick. Why was she any worse or different? Crickets from the Jesuit scholars. This conjecture that Mary Magdalene was the high priestess is also supported by the way her name appears in ancient texts as the Magdalene. Apparently, Magdalene is a title, not a name. You still hear people call her the Magdalene in exactly the same way as you hear them refer to the Pope and the President. It explains the tradition that Mary Magdalene had red hair, the Amorite giants, the Nephilim, had red hair, and they were Baal worshippers. This also provides a plausible explanation, otherwise lacking, for what changed the adoring crowds of Palm Sunday into the ferocious mobs calling for the release of Barabbas in preference to Joshua. What could Joshua do in a single week that would adequately explain that change? Being anointed as a priest of Baal would do it. And what, other than the rather paltry payment of 30 pieces of silver, would cause Judas Iscariot to all of a sudden, out of the blue, betray him to the Sanhedrin and the Romans? Judas didn't need the money. He was a Pharisee. And what about the comment Joshua made at the Last Supper to Judas, telling him to go do what he had to do? Had Judas been instructed to do this? Or was this comment to Judas related to some earlier unresolvable dispute over the anointing and its implications? If, as the evidence seems to suggest, Christianity represents a mass conversion of Baal worshippers to the teachings of Joshua in the centuries leading up to the Council of Nicaea, with a few Jews thrown in, we've got a very, very different picture of what Christianity is and how it came to be. Many aspects of the Roman Catholic Church also snap into view. Baal worshippers worship idols. That neatly explains all the statues of saints, medals, coins, icons, etc. Their worship of mammon, money, is just an extension of the basic idolatry. Baal worshippers practice magic, both black and white. That neatly explains all the magical symbols littering Catholic churches and secular buildings like the Pentagon. It also explains the church's adoption of pagan holidays like Yule and Samhain. Baal worshippers practice deceit and honor the father of all lies. What more outrageous lie than to pretend to honor the teachings of Joshua? Baal worship is a death cult, which neatly explains the Roman Catholic crucifix. If Joshua is risen, why do they keep him forever nailed to the cross and dead as a proverbial doornail, too? Nothing like the constant reminder of death and the idea that death is the ultimate winner, hidden behind the image of the crucifix, to keep Baal worshippers tuned up and stealing and killing and fornicating like there's no tomorrow, because in their view, there is no tomorrow and no reason to be good. Just rip and tear and get what you can, however you can. If that means pretending to be Christians or Republicans or Jews or whatever else, they will always say fine, so be it. One good deceit deserves another. And that also explains why so many Christians speak with their lips and don't walk with their feet or give with their hands, doesn't it? Consciously or unconsciously, for millions of Christians it's not about Joshua or his teachings. It's about insinuating oneself into confidence and trust, gaining social position, making money, and appearing to be upright and moral, with the emphasis on the word appearing. Without being. Just like magic. Just like the Templars who disappeared. Just like the Dutch East India Company that disappeared. Just like the Trojan and Spanish wealth disappeared and just like the wealth of America is disappearing, while all eyes are focused on a man-made pandemic, and nobody is prosecuting those responsible for creating and releasing COVID-19. No, the perpetrators are being venerated as experts and handed control instead of a jail sentence. Go figure. Heck, go all the way dash, just like Joshua disappeared from the tomb. The Baal worshippers probably ate him, thinking that they would gain his powers by doing so. Cannibalism and blood oaths are part of Baal worship, and when we lift our heads and look, what do we see in the Christian churches? Millions of people mindlessly repeating the Apostles' Creed and then sealing their oath with blood, eating his body and drinking his blood in a symbolic act of cannibalism and never questioning or thinking a thing about it. The Roman Catholic Church went so far as to espouse the doctrine of transubstantiation, the teaching that the wine in the communion cup turns to actual blood and the communion wafer turns into flesh. And then, there is the veneration of Mary. Which Mary is it? Faced with this apocalyptic conjecture and all the evidence, what can we do? What can we think, except that those devotees of Baal worship who were embedded in the early Roman Catholic Church, did what they do best, and distorted the truth into lies. Added and subtracted from the written records to give people a tweaked version of the Gospels? And profited themselves from it, too. Indulgences, baptismal certificates traded on their own black market, birth certificate puns. But never any real jubilees. I know that the Romans suppressed Baal worship sometime in the years following their invasion of England, and did a ferocious job of it, resulting in the virtual extermination of the Druid priesthood and the systematic pollution of wells throughout the occupied territory with iron rods. According to Roman belief, the Fae and Nephilim are allergic to iron, the primary atomic metallic ion in the middle of the hemoglobin molecule. Perhaps it alters their blood by substituting iron for some other element, similar to the way sodium substitutes itself for potassium? Anyone who knows for sure, raise your hand. Did this same suppression and persecution go on throughout the empire? It would take a better student of Rome and British history to tell us, but if the crackdown on the Druids was part of a more general crackdown on Baal worship, it would provide a mighty motivation for Baal worshippers to convert to Christianity during the first 3 centuries following the birth of Christ, which, ironically, means the death of Joshua, in the same way that we have been murdered as Americans when we are registered as British territorial U.S. citizens. We can reject Baal worship wherever it hides, and we can reject this ancient abomination with all our hearts, souls, and minds. We can come out of Babylon. We can refuse to be part of these churches and leave the tainted Christian label behind. We can form new Joshuan fellowships to honor the love and the teachings of Joshua. We can embrace him in a humble way, day to day. No need for phallic cathedral spires and womb-like cathedral domes. Moses, representing a mixture of Egyptian magic and Hebrew confusion, wandered around the desert for 40 years, inflicting his own condition on all his followers. It wasn't until Joshua stood up and said, "I don't care what all the rest of you do, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," that the promised land became reality. Let me submit that we have been similarly confused and kept wandering about in a wilderness of doubt and deception, hardly knowing our right foot from our left. We've been enslaved in the land of the free. We've lived our lives as Americans and been misidentified as federal citizens instead. We've been faithful followers of Joshua and been mislabeled as Christians. We've all been defrauded, not only materially, but spiritually, and by the same parties, too. The evidence is right in front of our noses. I invite all you Bible scholars and linguists and church apologists to pile on. Come all those who have spent their lives studying the Dark Ages and the history of Rome and the history of Britain and France. I'd be interested in what Wycliffe High might add to this. Martin Luther and Ian J.R.R. Tolkien and Frank Baum are not the only ones who smell the Baal rat. Or was it the Balrog? I wish it to be explicitly understood that this is not being said in any spirit of spite or hatred or meant as any indictment against Catholic people or Christian people in general. It's not. 99.9% of them are victims right along with the rest of us. No, this is being said in the same way that your grandma might observe a rotten tree leaning over your house roof. Take heed. This is, I believe, the secret of Mystery Babylon.